is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Afternoon. Thanks for being here today. We're getting another update on a lot of things related to COVID-19. Douglas County Public Health Officer Dr. Bob Dannenhofer, thanks for being on this afternoon.
Well, thank you for having me.
Want to start out getting kind of an overall update on COVID-19 at the world level. How are things looking in other nations?
Well, this is still a very active pandemic, about 16 million cases in the world, over 600,000 deaths. Still very active in the U.S., still very active in Brazil and other parts of South America. South Africa has had lots of cases, as well as India. And India is especially a worry, such a populous and closely packed country.
Are there particular areas around the world that are doing good right now?
Well, there are some countries that are doing very well. I think New Zealand has nearly eradicated it. Taiwan has done a very good job keeping the rates low. South Korea and Australia have done a pretty good job, but they worry. You know, Australia had about 400 cases yesterday, which is the most it's had in a long time, but that's 400 cases in the whole country. You know, when we look at countries like the European countries, they really struggled early on, but they really are now having just 100 or so cases a day. So there are some countries that are doing okay. The U.S., Brazil, India, South Africa are really struggling.
What about New Zealand? What about what they're doing or what's happening that's putting them in a better light right now?
Well, New Zealand is benefiting, and that's in the middle of water. So they have a very easy time to go ahead and control visitors, and they really stop visitors from outside of New Zealand. And even New Zealanders who want to come back need to quarantine for 2 weeks before they're doing it. So they've done their best job by quarantining outsiders.
For the U.S., what are some of the hot spots right now?
So the hotspots in the U.S. right now are mostly in the southern part of the United States, Florida, Texas, California, Arizona, Louisiana. Those are all really hotspots.
And any particular reason for those?
I think they had less disease early on. And with less disease early on, I think they took it a little less seriously than states that had a lot of disease early on. So Washington and New York that had a lot of disease early on really took this very seriously. Florida, for example, did not really.
How are our neighbors in Washington and California looking right now?
Well, Washington and California are two other hotspots. Well, actually, unfortunately, Oregon is surrounded by hotspots. So Washington, Idaho, Nevada, California are all hotspots. And so that's our big concern about travel. More than half of our recent cases are related to outside of Oregon travel. We have not very many cases that are associated, stayed here in Douglas County. Almost all of these have started from somebody who has left the state and come back, or somebody from out of the state who's come in.
And with it being the middle of summer and after things moving so slowly in the spring, some folks, of course, have had vital business reasons to be out traveling. But are you surprised at the number of people that are going out of state?
Yeah, well, I'm very worried about people going out of state. And it's not just simply the travel out of state. It's going out of state and then having lots of close contacts. So, you know, I'm going to kind of anonymize the case so we don't point out anybody in particular, but somebody comes from out of state, visits with family, spends a day with one kid, another day with another kid, another day with another kid, and then they leave and go back and are diagnosed as positive. They've exposed all of these people here, and then all of those kids have had all of the exposures elsewhere. So it really is very worrisome how this travels, especially when you're positive, and it's even before you know you're sick, that can really spread this disease.
I'm aware of a situation out of state, not around here or anyone connected to here, but where someone in a workplace that was mostly virtual, but there had been some contact for some in-person staff meetings or something, and exposed to someone who was fine, didn't think they had any issues at all, but a few days later got sick. That person was positive, and then this one family and a group of staff who'd been exposed to the other person for not that much time ended up all testing positive, and they had mild symptoms. It appeared at last check that I've seen information about that. But they, you know, they were, while they'd been very careful, they were somewhat surprised just the way that the whole situation played out. And it seems like there are so many unique cases where people are around folks, even if you're keeping socially distant and that kind of thing, and yet they end up getting it later. And they're, you know, it takes a while to figure out just exactly who was it that, you know, ended up exposing them.
Well, it is a mysterious disease. You know, when we see people who are positive and they don't spread it to anyone else, including their family, and then we see others who spread it to many, many people at once. So there are well-documented things in the literature, for example, of a corral where one sick person gave it to over 50 others, or on a cruise ship there where so many people get it. But then the other thing that's mysterious is it's not always that way. Whereas you see a case and they don't get anybody else sick, even the people they live with. So this is really mysterious. You know, we still have a relatively low rate of disease in Douglas County, and we could keep it that way. We are afraid, however, that if you get to the number of cases like they're having in Florida, that you'd never be able to do enough testing and contact tracing to keep it under wraps.
Along with travel, have you had more local cases tied to close contact at social gatherings?
Yes. So the two big things we see are travel and parties. Travel and parties. It's not, you know, it's not the person you happen to see at Walmart who wasn't wearing a mask in the next aisle. It really is travel and parties.
And for people who sometimes have maybe family get-togethers or things like that, talk about the aspect of maybe, you know, you've mentioned before, doing things outside and staying more distant from folks. Sometimes some of these party situations look like pre-COVID times.
Yeah, so we are really concerned at seeing big indoor gatherings. Again, outdoors is much safer than indoors. Not having a big party is safer than having a party. And having the size of the party makes a difference. Right? So if you have a party with five people, the chance that one of those infected is pretty low. The chance that one is a super spreader is really low. But once you get to 100, the chance of having a super spreader in there is really high. And I see the sad news today about Herman Cain dying. And it's pretty likely that he picked this up at the Trump rally. And unfortunately, that's exactly the kind of big indoor gathering of people milling about and shouting that leads to lots of disease.
And right around that time, I knew he traveled to some other locations as well, and they're still looking into that. For folks that are, you know, I think that a lot of people are trying to navigate this and yet not put themselves in a state of total isolation.
Well, I don't think you need to be in total isolation. Again, we really are encouraging people to get outside and exercise. Staying around your small family group is a perfectly good thing. And if you do need to be around big groups, doing it outside is so much safer than indoors.
Now, I know we had another case in Douglas County today on the new report that came out in the past half hour or so. Are the Douglas County cases, are you seeing them in all areas of the county?
Pretty much related to population. So obviously with Roseburg, with about half the population in the county, we're seeing about half the cases. And we've seen them up and down the freeway. And we've seen some out towards Glide and some out in Reedsport. So there's almost no part of the county that we could say has had no cases. And because, for example, people who live in Camas don't, you know, may go shopping in Winston or may go to Roseburg to go to Lowe's, we think really, we really don't think that you can set aside a geography that would be perfectly safe.
Going to take a break on Inside Douglas County. More when we come back. County Public Health Officer Dr. Bob Dannenhofer. We'll talk school, sports, and more in our next segment, the interview of podcast after 1 at 541radio.com, 1245 at News Radio, 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1247. Lars Larson coming at 1 on News Radio 1240 KQEN. Tomorrow's program, Sam Lee will talk about the unique way they're doing the livestock auction this year. Very small group and much of it online and virtual. That's coming up just over a week away on the 7th. He'll run down exactly how it works, how you can get involved and support local young people in that special event happening out at the fairgrounds. County Public Health Officer Dr. Bob Dannenhofer with us this afternoon. Well, big announcements regarding schools in recent days. A lot of people were hoping to see in-person classes in this area. Some people were nervous about that. It goes both ways, but it appears right now that most cases it won't happen to be starting this school year. Some districts still figuring out how all the guidance applies to them. In the governor's remarks and the other officials, the state epidemiologist that she was joined by as well, they had talked about positivity percentages, criteria about the number of cases in particular counties and statewide as well. Can you talk more about those percentages and how that all gets figured out?
Right. So testing positivity means of all the tests you do, how many are positive? Pretty easy measure. What we know is that when the disease is out of control in the community, the rate of positivity is high. So I look today in some areas in the country, it's over 30%. So if you do 100 tests and 30 of them are positive, there's so much disease in your area. As the rates get to less than 5%, it means you have it pretty much under control, and you really have it under control when you're under 1%. So we in Douglas County were under 1% for a long time. And so that was the time we were having, you know, very few cases, even though we were doing a fair amount of testing. What's happened now in the last week is our rate climbed a little over 5%, like the state rate climbed a little over 5%, although I think this week it's going to be back down under 5%.
And I know the early data a few days ago, we're starting to see a shift. Of course, I think now statewide, have we been seeing less cases in the past few days that were tied to workplaces?
Where we are hoping, you know, when we look at these curves very carefully, and it looks like over the last 2 weeks, the number of cases is slowly declining. However, the deaths, as you've noted in the last few days, have been really high. Remember, the deaths are delayed from the onset of cases by generally 2 to 4 weeks. So, for example, with Herman Cain, he was hospitalized on the 1st and just died today. So that's not an unusual story.
Now, we're hearing varied opinions on how likely kids are to spread the virus, getting back to talking about schools. What about that? Because it seemed like the Pediatric Association, whatever it's technically called, and other medical groups didn't necessarily come out the same way on kids spreading the virus.
So, you know, this is a new virus, so we don't know all of the data, but it does appear from the data from France and from Korea that kids who are in high school probably spread the disease pretty efficiently, kind of like adults. And we've seen that because we've seen a fair amount of spread among teens. We know that kids, though, less than 10 before puberty tend to get the disease less, spread the disease less, and tend to get much less sick when they get it. It may have something to do with what are called the ACE2 receptors in the nasal lining. So those receptors, which is where we think the virus gets into the body, are much lower in kids than they are in people past puberty. So it may be that the receptors, the place that the virus can get to, just can't get there. And that's why they have a lower rate of disease. But I think it's pretty clear that kids less than 10 are different from people above 10. But it's also pretty clear, I think, that high schoolers are pretty much like everybody else.
And when you look at the aspects of what schools might be able to do at some point, depending on how things go, you have the kids there. And let's think elementary school-wise for a moment. But you also have adults that are of varying ages and some that have, you know, health issues, et cetera, and things like that. So there's a lot to factor in there.
Yeah, we worry about the kids, but we don't think the kids are going to be the big spread. We really worry about the staff, right? Because the staff could be older, the staff could have underlying health conditions. So we want to be really sure that we protect both the kids and the staff.
What are you seeing about the mental health aspect, though, of kids? We're hearing about more problems sometimes just because kids are having perhaps more trouble coping with the current situation than adults.
Well, kids are having difficulties. I'm in the clinic several days a week, and we're seeing a lot of kids with a lot of anxiety and parents who are just tired of their kids having been home for so many months. So there are clearly some mental health issues. On the other hand, we've seen that kids are probably sleeping a little bit better than they were before, and that some of the kids who are hyperactive love not having structured activities or spending more time outside. But in general, we're seeing much more troubles with anxiety and depression.
Is it possible that schools may be pivoting back and forth between online and in-person during the school year?
It certainly is possible that you could open up a school, have a big run of disease, and then need to close down. We think that would be a bad outcome, because what parents are looking for is some predictability in about sending the kids to school or doing the things they're doing. And if you have that going back and forth, that's going to be really, really hard to make it predictable for parents.
Especially where working parents, and not all of whom are at jobs where they can work from home.
Exactly right. And so for many families, school is the place where the kids go during the day while the parents go to work. And it'll be really hard if that's an on-again, off-again phenomena.
What about sports? Now, if schools are not in person, OSAA and others have got to look at that situation, and along with the Oregon Department of Education officials, about the aspect of sports. It seems like maybe if there's not schools in session, that sports are not likely to be taking place this fall either.
Well, OSAA didn't ask me, so I don't know what they're going to decide. I don't know what they're going to decide to do. Their update that just came out the other day is still kind of noncommittal.
And what are some of the other concerns you have right now for COVID-19 in general, just looking at how things are going?
Well, one of the things that we worry about is that the summertime is generally a low time for infections. So if you think of other kinds of respiratory infections, bronchitis, upper respiratory infection, strep, you see very, very, very little of that in the summertime. And then when the fall comes back, those things start to creep back. Well, if we're seeing both COVID plus flu plus those other things, it's going to be so hard to know who is sick with the flu, who's just sick with a cold, and who's sick with COVID. And until we get enough testing and testing with rapid enough turnaround time, it's going to be so hard to separate those out.
And so what you're saying is it could be a long fall and winter.
It's going to be a long fall and winter.
So for folks in Douglas County, we've got about a minute left with County Public Health Officer Dr. Bob Dannenhofer. What's sort of some of your advice for day-to-day activities, going to work, being out in the community or not out in the community?
Be very careful about travel, especially to high-risk areas. Be very careful about big parties. Be very careful about indoor gatherings. Wear a mask when you're outdoors. Wash your hands. And take good care of yourself. Take care of your mental health. Go outside. Get some activity. Call your mom on the phone. Do those kind of things that improve your mental health. But really avoid those parties that really do spread this disease.
And for the Douglas Public Health Network, I know there's a lot of resources, a lot of information that we have links up to their website. People can take a look at more data and get a little idea of other ideas and topics as well.
Yes, and I think there's some really good data on the county website. I think there's some very good data on the state website, so I'd encourage people to look at those.
All right, County Public Health Officer Dr. Bob Dannenhofer, thanks for being on this afternoon.
Well, thank you for having me.
1257 at News Radio 1240 KQEN.
You've been listening. listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN, a daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications, your home for Douglas County's news team, News Radio 1240 KQEN.